Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Rice to Meet You, your comedy podcast about Asian culture. We just want to thank you guys for all the support you've shown us and all the lovely messages you've been sending. And a special thank you to all of our patrons. Without you guys, this time would have been especially tough on us. As you guys know, we're both comedians, and our industry has basically shut down during this pandemic. And now that things are opening up again, we're very excited to get back out there. But we do realize that it'll probably take some time to get the live comedy circuit back up and running. So for now, Nigel and I are both focusing on the podcast, and so your support means extra much to us during this time, because we don't really know when we'll be able to go back to work. So again, thank you. And if you're a listener who's considered joining our Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/ricetomeetyoupod and sign up to the tier that best suits you. In addition to extra bonus material, you'll be first to get exclusive news about the podcast and our live events. And depending on the tier you're at, you'll get free tickets as well. We know that this is money that you probably spend on going out, so we really appreciate that you've chosen to support us instead. Again, thank you, and hopefully we'll go back to a regular everyday soon. And now, on with the show.
Hello, and welcome to Rice to Meet You, a comedy podcast about Asian culture. I'm your host, Nigel Ng.
And I'm your host, Evelyn Mock.
Yes, welcome to this podcast, which is a special one as part of the Jericho Comedy Festival, which we are live streaming to Next Up.
Yes, we are. It's very exciting. I've never done a live podcast in a live stream before. We've never really done a live podcast like live before either.
We have, Evelyn. What are you talking about? Episode 48 was a live podcast.
But that was on Zoom. Like, we haven't done one, like, in person with people around.
Well, it doesn't really matter. It's the same thing. It doesn't really change. But to all the viewers, if you're watching and listening to us, hello, nice to see you. We'll be monitoring the comment section, so feel free to pop something in and heckle us if you want.
No, don't heckle us.
We're a comedy podcast. We can handle anything. Don't worry.
Okay.
How are you, Evelyn? How's life?
I'm good, Nigel. I'm good. I'm actually in Sweden still because I escaped to Sweden when the UK went into lockdown, because normally I live in London. Mm-hmm. So now, and as you can see, I've changed my background again. I've changed rooms again. I've gone into the tiniest room in the house and sat myself in the corner because it's cluttered and filled. But I've done it because this is the room with the best soundproofing. So it sounds better, my audio, when it's recorded here. And I've tried to make it pretty. So I've put up my Backstreet Boys poster.
I like that. It's good because for listeners, we've talked about this before in previous episodes, but Evelyn lives in a refugee camp.
I don't.
And this room is like the best looking place she has right now, which is great.
At the moment, yeah. It's like, and it's also just like the tiniest corner of the room, because if I were to tilt my, actually, I'll just show you. We just see.
Yes.
There we go. It's just boxes.
No. Your parents seem to think boxes are furniture.
No.
They seem to think it's okay to have boxes in your living quarters.
They have it because they have so much stuff, so they need the boxes to put the stuff in.
You can buy like proper, you know, like little proper boxes that you can show in a house publicly. You know, those are just like cardboard boxes that they got from the grocery store.
What are the proper boxes?
Like storage solutions. Like Muji sells a lot of nice stuff like that. IKEA sells a lot of nice boxes that look very minimal and sleek.
I mean, you're like the middle class Asian dude.
I just like living in a nice place.
My parents are old school immigrant Asians. They're not going to waste money on Muji. You think they can go into Muji and be like, oh, I really appreciate this
aesthetic, the dark wood
spreader. Yeah.
Immigrant parents will never buy a diffuser.
Yes, exactly. You know? They would never buy a diffuser. That was the word I was looking
for. They don't give a shit about ylang ylang or whatever the fuck you use.
Oh, this diffuser is spreading a really nice aroma of oranges. They'd be like, just eat oranges and keep the peels.
Yeah.
And just put it around the house if you want an orange smell. Yes. Why are you wasting money?
They're very functional, right? They look at a box, you're like, that's good enough.
Yes,
they don't think about
exactly.
The aesthetics of things.
No, they don't. You know?
Including their children. They don't care if their children looks good. My parents don't care if I look good. They just want me to have a grandkid for them.
That's
you know?
So funny.
funny.
They're very functional. What's the purpose of having children? To have grandkids. Are they ugly? Actually, yes. Who gives a fuck? They don't care.
That actually is the opposite of my parents. The only appearance they care about is my appearance, so that I can attract a husband. And as you can tell, they have not succeeded.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Have some confidence, Evelyn.
Oh, thank you. Now
if you're at the Rise to Meet You podcast, we believe everybody's beautiful. You know? You can be on Vogue if you want. I want you to write Vogue a letter to pitch yourself as a model. I want you to write to Victoria's Secret and say, can I wear some wings? I want to wear your angel wings for your fall collection. Can I do that? I want to stand next to Miranda Kerr, you know?
You
walk down the catwalk.
Every time I think about Victoria's Angels, I just think about that photo with Taylor Swift and like Gigi Hadid and like the other Hadid and then Lena Dunham just next to them. Like, if you want to talk about brave, that was a brave photo.
Yeah, wow.
She's beautiful too, but it's just such a funny contrast. Yeah.
Brave has become like a negative term now. Like, I don't want to be called brave ever. You know what I mean? I want to be called hot, vapid. You know, I don't want to be called brave. I don't want to take a shirt off at the beach and people say, how brave? That sucks. You know, that's the last thing I want to hear. I want to be like, how pleasing to the eyes.
How pleasing to the eyes.
Yeah.
Nigel, you are hot and vapid.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I mean, I do agree with you, though. Like, brave has been used in a patronizing way towards women whenever a woman just is herself in a public space. Yeah, and then she's called brave, and it's like, oh, that's so patronizing.
Hey, it applies to guys, too, please.
Do you think?
Yeah.
In what way?
We'll call, like, if you take, you know, if you act like yourself and you haven't taken care of your body that much and you take your shirt off at the beach, yeah, people will be like, yeah, he's brave.
Oh, nice. Really?
Yeah, I think it's both genders. Maybe for women it applies, people say use it more. People wield that phrase more for women.
Yeah. No, you're right, probably. Mm-hmm. And I mean, well, I guess it's like with men, obviously they have body image standards as well. But then like the dad bod is really appreciated when that happened with celebrities. Like, oh, what a nice dad bod. Like there's no like mom bod for women. Like women don't get like appreciated for like, oh, wow, her breasts are sagging because she's been breastfeeding her child. What a great mom bod she has.
We should make that a thing.
Mom bod?
Yeah, I'm into mom bods now, okay? The lower your breasts are, the better. All right? I don't want to have to climb to reach your breasts. All right?
Climb!
Yeah. I want your breasts to have easy access, waist height. All right?
Our technician Carlos is miming the climbing of the breast.
Carlos is our tech guy who's backstage with us. You can't see him, but thank you for your help, Carlos. And yes, mom bods all the way, people. You should come back to London soon, man, because like things are opening up now.
Yeah.
You know? Like I think starting Monday tomorrow, 15th June, all the shops, non-essential shops are going to open up, which I'm super excited about. Yeah, because one of my favorite shops, Muji, is going to open up. I love Muji, by the way. This is a second shout out to them. So Muji, if you want to sponsor us, please let us know. Right? Wouldn't that be cool?
Please.
You know, go to Muji and use code RICE for 10% off your next diffuser, you know? Disappoint your parents by giving them that for Father's Day. A diffuser from Muji.
A diffuser. Did you ever, like, with your parents, when you gave them things for Father's Day or Mother's Day, did they ever go, like, this is so unnecessary?
Yeah,
How much does it cost?
Yeah, my item more. Why did you buy this?
Yeah.
We already have this at home. Hiya.
Why waste money? That's what, like, I always learned to include the receipt when I gave them something.
Yeah, I should do that too. But in Malaysia, a lot of the times when you buy stuff from like a non-chain or a non-proper shop, you don't get receipts. You know, you buy stuff from a street vendor, you think he's going to give you a receipt?
He's not going to return it. Yeah, he'd be like, you didn't buy it here.
Yeah.
You bought it at that stall.
Yeah.
I know, because it's bad quality. Mine's better quality.
I'm going to Muji, man. If you want, everybody should come to Muji with me. I want to do some shopping. I need to shop for a new couch.
What happened to your couch?
It's broken. It like, I don't know how, but
how did you break it, Nigel?
Couches just break after a while. you know?
This
you just use it
so,
for a while.
You sound like you're covering something.
I'm not
Did you bang on the couch and then it broke?
Well.
Nigel!
What else are couches for? It was for a very intense session of FIFA, okay?
How did you...
All right, it was banging. It was banging. Fuck that.
How did you manage to bang somebody? It's lockdown.
Well, it was from before. Okay, I'm incriminating myself here. But it was from before. It was broken before, okay? And also, you can see other people now, Evelyn. There's a support bubble.
Oh, my God. That was, like, announced, like, a few days ago.
Yeah, but it was broken from before. Let's keep it at that. And couch, there's a lot of wear and tear on my couch. But when you're good at something, you know what I mean? When you're good at running, your running shoes just get, you know, they kind of get flattened out, right? The soles become smooth because you keep running and you practice a lot. The same thing with couches. I'm good at what I do.
I hope nobody has to see your penis ever again, because by that analogy, your penis is worn out. It's like worn out.
It looks like a freshly sharpened pencil.
Yeah. Just kinda, you know, like when trees get older, they just build like rings around themselves. But like your penis has like just each year, like a ring disappears.
No. The beauty about the body is that new cells regenerate themselves. Okay? But couches don't regenerate. That's why the cushioning's a bit like, you could feel the springs underneath it now, you know, which is not nice. It's not nice. And everybody needs a nice couch in that flat, you know, and that my opens to a bed too, which is useful when people come to visit.
Oh God, Nigel.
What? Like my friends who come, my Malaysian friends who come to visit. This is nothing sexual. That's my friends.
That I bang.
I'm not letting my friends stay in the same bed with me.
Oh my gosh. So what kind of couch are you looking for now?
I just want something, a two-seater, a two-and-a-half-seater that looks modern and that folds out into a bed. That's my criteria. It has to be somewhat comfortable, that, you know, it has to be comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh, you should get like one of those divan couches. I don't know. That's what they're called in Swedish. But you know, one that has like on the side, like one of the seats are longer, so you can put your feet up.
Oh, like an L shape.
Yes, an L shape, and then that can fold out into a bed as well.
I don't think my flat is big enough for that.
Oh, yeah, you have quite a small flat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and I mean, that would be more comfortable to bang somebody on, the L shape.
You make it work. A poor craftsman blames his tools. And Evelyn, you're blaming your tools right now. Evelyn saying, oh, that's why I'm bad at sex. I don't have an L section. I see my couch. I'm like, how can I make this work?
Oh, you know? God. I will say, though, sex isn't the most fun. I'd rather have an emotional one-night stand where, like, you tell me about your mother and your relationship with her and how she hurt you.
That's called therapy. It's called therapy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get all the dirt and then I ghost you.
Well, the thing is, like, I used to be so bad at it, man. Remember your first time at sex? How bad you were? I'm sure you remember. It was 2 weeks ago for you, right? Hey! Hey! Easy one. That was an easy one, people.
Very easy. Like I am. No.
Hey, self-roast. Hey. Let's do it again.
You were bad at sex?
Yeah, terrible.
Nigel Ung?
Yeah, everybody starts somewhere. Okay. I remember my first time, it was missionary, right? Mm-hmm. But then I didn't know you're supposed to support your own body weight with your arms.
What do you
mean? I just kind of just lied on her like she was a mattress, you know? I thought that was what you're supposed to do.
You just lied to them.
I thought it was very pleasurable for women to feel like a heavy object on their chest. And then I just kind of, I also didn't do the thrust, you know, I didn't know you were supposed to thrust, you know, so it's just kind of like rocking forward and back, that kind of motion.
Oh my God!
And then I realized, why is she not moving or making any sound?
Wait, so you were just a sponge just going like that?
Yeah.
Nigel, that's so funny.
I'm like a, you know when they show you like the tectonic plates in an earthquake, how they move? Yeah, that's how I moved. That's rubbing.
But nobody's world was rocked that night.
Yay! Evelyn with the sexual innuendos.
Not again. Not. Please don't. Not the late night radio DJ.
Hey, listeners, this is a new character I'm developing. The smutty late night radio DJ. DJ Doggy Style. FM 69.69.
Oh God!
So now I learned, you know, better techniques. You know, after that, I was like, okay, she didn't have a good time, and she's ignoring my messages now. What did wrong? So I went to Pornhub. I watched, you know, some videos, and then I was like, oh, so you're supposed to hold yourself up, okay?
Nigel, that's so funny. That is so Nigel Ung. Of course, you watched porn videos as tutorial for how to have sex. Of course you did.
I mean,
is that so wrong? Nigel.
They're good at what they do. They look good when they're doing what they do. You wanna, who doesn't wanna fuck like a porn star? You tell me.
I mean, most people. I don't know. I think like, that's so funny. I mean, it's so you to be like, okay, I wanna learn this skill. Where can I learn it? Oh yeah, I'll go watch a tutorial and then I'll learn it. It's like that mic cord thing all over again.
The mic cord? Oh yeah. Oh, listeners who, ages ago, we had a podcast episode where we talked about how I was learning how to pace on stage, but then the mic cord always got in the way. So I had to learn from the pros how to deal with the mic cord. You know, do you step over it? Do you step on it? If you step on it, will it tug into the mic and create this weird sound or just disconnect the mic in general? So I had to watch a lot of stand-up to see how bigger comics switch the mic cord. You know?
I mean, and that's amazing.
The thing is, you say
the same
like,
thing with sex.
I didn't go onto Pornhub and type tutorial. The words I just watched it and the information came to me via osmosis. I wasn't notes. I wasn't taking notes.
Do you pose as well? Because they pose.
I don't pose. Well, maybe. I don't know. You want to look good when doing it, right? Because you're nice enough to come back to your place. You want to put on a show. You want to make them feel the entry price was worth it.
What do you mean entry price?
They're giving up their time. They're giving up their evening, right? You want to make sure it's worth it. You want them to go, yes, that was... You want them to get some good reviews on Google, you know? You want some good reviews. You don't want to be a 3-star fuck buddy.
Oh, my God.
You want to be a 3-star fuck buddy? No.
Oh, my God. Somebody should start...
I am at least 4.5 stars, I think.
App.
What,
sorry?
You rate your fuck buddies?
Yeah, fuck buddy app. And then you just rate how good they are in bed. Oh, Nigel,
it's true.
That's
people,
so funny.
They give up their time. You want to show them a good experience. It's the same thing when you come to my comedy show, you leave satisfied. Same thing. Same principle. You laugh a lot, you know?
That's something I get. Like when I, my first time actually, I laughed during the thing and it put the guy off. And I was like, I mean, this is a really kind of intense situation. Because it was so funny because he was so intense. And I was like,
how was he intense? I need details, girl.
How was he? What are you doing?
This is the gossip hour with Nigel Ong and Evelyn Mock.
I think I was too inexperienced to appreciate what was going on. So sorry about that, dude. But it was because I was really much in my head. And he just kept like, he was so into it. And it just felt like he just didn't notice how out of it I was, like how not into it I was. And so it was like he was having the greatest time. And I was like, I don't think I need to be here. Like, I think honestly, he's just having fun with my vagina. And like Evelyn, my personality doesn't need to be here. And I found that so funny that I started laughing and that put him off. But I think like, you should be able to laugh with your partner during sex, right?
I think
yes,
so. I
Carlos
think so.
Agreeing.
But the thing is, he's also doing that for you. He wants you to feel like, oh, I'm good. You know, he's enjoying himself. He wants you to feel good. He's doing that for you. Like... And you're just shitting on him.
I think in that moment, like when we immediately when it started happening and stuff, I just realized that, oh, I don't think I like him as much as I thought I did.
Because
there wasn't like a I didn't feel a connection. It was
why'd you
weird.
Go back with him then? Why did you go to his place?
What?
If you don't like him, why did you decide to hook up with him?
Oh, because I wanted to.
Oh, okay. I just want to see what it felt like.
I wanted to do it. Yeah, I wanted to lose my virginity, I think. Yeah. So I was just like, I think throughout it, I was just like, let's just get it over with. And then also, it took such a long time to like for women, it's like about, like it took such a long time to get it in. I think that's a thing for women when it's happening the first time. Like you have to.
Why? Because it's sealed like in plastic packaging?
Well, I think so. If it's the first time you're putting something in there, it's like really, it was just tough to get it in. And I was like, okay. And at one point, like the penis bent and I was like, ah, oh no, oh. I think I broke it. But he was fine. But it was just this thing of like, it just took such a long time to get in. So I was like, why is it? This is weird.
Like chop,
but
chop.
I think it's a female thing.
I think maybe you're just being impatient.
No, but if you think about it, like if you're trying to get like a cucumber into like.
Oh, no. Are we going this route? Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Finish your thought. Finish your cucumber analogy.
I don't know what could be tough, like into like a wedding ring. I don't know. Oh. I'm so sorry.
So you're saying you think your vagina is like a wedding ring?
Well, at first, and then... No, Carlos, don't do it, Carlos!
What did Carlos do?
Well, we're giving you guys a show. Oh, Carlos is giving us a show. He just found a microphone and like a loo roll, and he was illustrating things.
God.
But yeah, it's a wedding ring that you hope to grow in, that will expand into... something else. I don't know.
Can
a
clearly
rubber band.
Tell Evelyn hasn't had sex that much because I've never heard anyone describe a vagina as a wedding ring. You know,
no, but like the first time. Because
it's not
like,
a metal thing. Even the first time, it's not a metal thing. It's not, flesh. It expands and contracts.
It does, but like the first time, it's like it's tougher to get in.
Okay, maybe you're right. I don't know much about the female anatomy, but. I feel if you want to get it over with, you should have hired a sex worker. You know, they will know how to show you a good time, and they know how to experience. You know what I mean?
No.
I think it's sad that it's stigmatized in society. But if you want to get your first time over it, hire a sex worker. They know what to do.
I mean, you wanted to be with somebody who you care about.
Yeah, that's the first choice. But clearly, you weren't in that position.
I mean,
right?
I was. I liked him, but
oh, okay.
Then
so you didn't. Okay,
I
okay.
realized that I probably didn't like him as much as I thought.
You
but
realized,
yeah,
like I'm gay.
Maybe it was that. Maybe
you saw a dick and like, nope, not for me.
Not for me.
Oh, speaking of that, we had a listener write in. Her name's 80. She wrote in to say we should create a sound effect based on one of the things I said in episode 50. Because for a little bit of context, new listeners, I created a sound effect from Evelyn's little snippet that she when she did this. This was Evelyn's impression of Chinese opera.
And Nigel added a gong to make it extra racist.
No, I didn't add the gong. It was just there when you said it. This is how your voice sounds like. It's your Asianness emanating from your body.
My body. Inga, inga. Inga,
inga. Inga, inga. All right, I did add the gong. Okay, I did add the gong. But to even it out, I have my own sound effect now. You want to hear it?
Yes.
You want to hear it?
Yes.
You are eating my pussy, boy.
Why did you add the Asian sound?
So we are even. So we are even. So you have your... And I have mine. You are eating my pussy, boy.
But it has nothing to do with being Asian. Why did you like add Marvin Gaye to it or something?
No, we've used that before. Marvin Gaye's done now. That's like episodes 15 to 35. That's done. That's Rise to Meet You era one. This is the new era of Rise to Meet You. It's Chinese flute era.
Okay, I appreciate that you've made yourself a sound effect, and that is a great sound effect that AD suggested that she caught on to. I should have. That was great. Thank you, AD.
AD sent us like a little snippet, so I didn't have to hunt through the podcast to find the exact clip. Yeah. So thank you so much, AD, for your help. And listeners, if you think there are new sound effects we can make with our voices or anything else, feel free to send them to us. We are open to suggestions.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Like, if we have any, like, sayings on the podcast that seem to be maybe catchphrases.
Yes. Maybe. We'll turn them into a button.
We can make them a button. I just don't know why you added the Asian sound to it. It's so weird.
It makes it funnier. And also, I don't want people to think I'm actually saying that. Because if it's just my voice, they'll think, why is he saying something? And then suddenly, eat my pussy, boy, you know? It needs to be clear that it is a sound effect. You can't be suddenly like, so I went to the store the other day to buy some bok choy. Eat my pussy, boy. What?
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
And it's our signature now. We are an Asian podcast and we are bringing to the spotlight lesser known Asian instruments like the gong. And the Chinese flute. You are eating my pussy, boy. Right? This is some Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon shit right here.
Yes, that's what they cut out of the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon that Ang Lee was so hurt by. But he realized it didn't make sense in the film. And now we have it. We have that sound effect.
Yeah. By the way, the context of me saying that line, you are eating my pussy, boy, is because I should explain this, otherwise people will be like, why is he saying that? Is this podcast always about pussy eating? No, it's not. It's about how Evelyn always apologizes, and Evelyn's not assertive enough, you know? So we were talking about how Evelyn always says like, oh, can you do this for me? Totally cool if not. So I said, no, you gotta be more assertive, you know? Go down on me now, eat my pussy, boy, you know? I don't say eat my pussy, boy, totally cool if not. So that's the context, people. Listen to episode 50 that of Rice to Meet You if you want to know more. It's a very strong episode.
Oh, gosh. A very strong episode. I love that you rank our episodes, Nigel.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. I think my favorite app is Bluetooth device, episode 46, 48. I don't remember now, but it's the Bluetooth device one.
Yeah, that was really fun.
And, you know, they're starting the support bubble. We mentioned this earlier. They're starting it now, but it's only... You can only let one other household enter your household.
Yes.
You
know,
it's you have to be exclusive. So the government's trying to stop me from my fuckboy ways. You know, Boris is telling me, stop being a fuckboy, Nigel. It's time to commit.
You don't need to spread that seed.
I'm not spreading seed, okay? Jesus. You make it sound so gross.
If the condom fits. No, it was funny.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, gosh. Well, so the support bubble. So you can only be loyal to one person.
Yeah.
In your fuckery.
Yeah, let's call it that. Sure, why not?
And the thing is, it might have to be me because we need to record this podcast.
No, but no. Okay.
But then again, I live with people, so we've realized that we can't do that.
That's fine. Just break the rules. It's okay. It's okay.
This is in Malaysia, Nigel. Sorry.
It's okay. I'm not going to waste my support bubble privileges on you. You know? We're not going to make use of the couch. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's going to buy a new couch that's very durable. We can be rocking all night long, yeah.
Nigel!
What?
So weird. Oh, gosh.
Hey, everyone. Restaurants aren't fully open yet, but this past weekend, I got to have two amazing Malaysian dishes. So, big shout out to Nasi and Makan Malaysia. Nasi is run by the owner of Sambal Shock, Mandy Yin, who appeared on episode 6. It's based in Highbury in London, and now they do pickups and deliveries to the Greater London area. Mandy was nice enough to send me the chicken set meal, which was amazing. What I liked about it was how tender the chicken was. You know, the chicken curry was definitely the star of the show. I don't even know how she does it. How do you make chicken tender? I've cooked chicken before. It's always chewy and gross, but it's never this good. How I don't know how she did that. Did a chicken live a healthy lifestyle? What's the deal? But it's amazing. Try it out. It's also not too spicy, so if you can't handle your spice, you'll feel right at home. Makan Malaysia is run by Sue and Kat. We'll hopefully get either one of them on the podcast soon. They're based in Reading, and they deliver to the UK nationwide. They sent me their nasi lemak with beef rendang, which was, again, also really good. Nasi lemak is a Malaysian national dish, which is made up of coconut rice, fried anchovies, peanuts, and a chili paste. Beef rendang is chunks of beef in a thick Malaysian curry paste. They even included banana leaf, which is just such a nice touch. You know, that's how I grew up eating nasi lemak, just next to a road under the sun on a banana leaf. Just good times. And I want to say they didn't pay me to say any of this, all right? All I got was free food, and I felt like they deserved a shout out because of how good the food was. And I think our listeners of the podcast, you will enjoy these dishes too. They both remind me of home, and it's making me hungry talking about them. So go check out Nasi and Makan right now and go order from them. I've left links to both their Instagram pages in the show notes. Enjoy.
What else has been going on lately? Oh, they've taken Little Britain down and Fawlty Towers off the streaming services. That's really interesting, I think.
What do you think? Do you like those shows to begin with?
I really like Fawlty Towers because I watched it when I was growing up, and my parents really like it too, so it was kind of like bonding with them.
Of course,
I think it's really funny.
Evelyn loves being woke on this podcast, but I'm the woke one. I'm actually the woke one. If you look
How
at our Apple
woke,
podcast
Nigel?
Reviews, so many people complain about Evelyn being non-woke and hating white people. So white people on the stream, please keep listening. I love you guys. I love you guys. Stay on the stream, please.
Why are you saying that? You're making it seem like I'm going to say something bad about white people now, which I am.
Here we go.
No, I'm kidding. I just found it interesting because now they're taking these things down now because Little Britain, they had some blackface in it, and Fawlty Towers had like racial overtones. Also, Boris Johnson, because of the statues that were being removed, Boris Johnson was defending the Winston Churchill statue, and he was saying it was something along the lines of like, yeah, some of the things that Winston Churchill has said and maybe done wouldn't be okay today. But it was a different time back then. And the thing is, like, no, it was never okay. Like, being racist or prejudiced was never okay. It's just that now you can't ignore the people who are calling you out on it anymore. That's changed.
True. I see what you mean. What did Churchill do that was racist? I'm not familiar.
I'm not too familiar.
I just know he won a war. I think if you win a world war, you get to be racist for like 2 days, you know, a month. If you win a world war, you get to be racist for a month. You know, if you killed Hitler, yeah, you're still a net positive to society.
Yeah, Carlos agrees. That's very funny. Yeah.
If you kill a war criminal, you get to be racist for a month. No repercussions. Okay?
No repercussions. You just reference back to the time you killed the worst genocider in the history of the world.
Exactly. I think that should be a law.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, sure.
So what did Winston do? My buddy Winston, what did he do? Probably some slavery stuff, right? You should have researched this before.
I should have researched this.
Oh, so you're just parroting other people's opinions. Wow.
I'm just what?
You're just parroting other people's opinions. Where'd you learn this? Twitter?
Oh, parroting as in a parrot. Parroting.
Yeah, echoing. So you just saw a tweet on Twitter and then you're just repeating it? Wow,
no,
good content
no.
for the podcast.
But it's just that phrase of like, if this happened today, it wouldn't be okay, but it was a different time back then. And it's like, it was never okay. The people who were receiving the not okayness never thought it was okay. It's just that now you can't ignore those people anymore. That's what's changed. Not the fact that it was okay back then.
That's fair.
The thing that's changed is that you just can't ignore the people.
You are correct. It's a very badly researched point, but you are correct. You admit it. You didn't do shit in terms of research.
But
I asked one follow-up question.
I'm talking about the phrase. I'm not talking about like what they did specifically. I'm just talking about the phrase.
Okay, the phrase. You are again. I stand my point. You are correct. But you also didn't do your homework. You're very fortunate that. It is a correct point. I think the issue with taking down Little Britain is I can think of a lot of films that if like you take down Little Britain, you probably have to take down Rush Hour.
Yeah.
And what a tragedy would that be?
That's very true, actually.
That was one of the most racist films that I love.
I love it too. I really love it.
When will this end? I think the issue should be leave those on, but teach people that it's wrong to do blackface. You know, I think most people also know it's wrong to do blackface anyway. It's like,
oh, so you mean leave them up as an example?
Yeah, just leave them up. People who watch it, they educate them so they know this is from a different time, and the things they do is no longer socially acceptable, like blackface and making fun of immigrants' accents and stuff. Mm-hmm. But leave it on. Yeah, they're coming for Rush Hour next, man. I'm telling you. Coming for Tokyo Drift next time, you know?
Because Tokyo Drift.
It's going to be that song that, I wonder if you know how they live in Tokyo. That's racist. Not all Japanese women sound like that. They have to go fast and furious. That's racist. Not all Japanese people own gongs. They're coming for that.
Oh my god, I can't believe you just sang the whole song of Tokyo Drift.
Hey, it was a big part of my childhood, Tokyo Drift.
Were you a Paul Walker fan or a Vin Diesel fan?
I don't know, I just like the Asian guy who died too quickly. Spoiler alert!
Oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, ooh, Han died. Very sad, very sad.
Do you know about, apparently he is a gross man.
Really?
Yeah, he did something shady to a lady once in a sky bar.
What's a sky bar?
It's like a bar in the sky.
Okay, that doesn't explain it. My God. Okay, fine. He's not a good guy, sure. But it was still a big part of my childhood. What else is racist? Aladdin's racist. Why are there no black people? It's just Middle Eastern people. Racist.
It probably is racist, Aladdin. Yeah.
Mulan's racist. They're killing Asians. Racist.
Nigel, I don't know where we're going here. What's this turning into?
I'm just saying, like, everything you make, you will be able to find fault with it if you dig deep enough. And yes, blackface, not acceptable, right? But taking that down, how is that solving racism? It's not like a kid watches Little Britain. I'm not a fan of it because I didn't get the humor. It's a bit old and also a very British show. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it captured a lot of archetypes quite accurately. Archetypes I'm not familiar with, you know, like the tracksuit wearing people. And yeah, it's a stereotype. It's not true. It's a broad brush generalization. But you watch it and it's entertainment and it's fun and it depicts society. And yeah, a lot of the things aren't acceptable anymore. But will taking out that show make people less racist?
No, but what's happening now is interesting because people are actually now finally listening, I think. That's what feels so different about this time around with Black Lives Matter. And it's like people are finally listening and they're not seeming, I haven't experienced it as if they're talking over each other, which is like previously, it feels like that's been the case. And it feels like now maybe it's because everybody is at home and there's nothing else distracting us anymore. So it does feel different this time, hopefully. You never know. I mean, with everything opening up again, maybe it's going to go back to...
I'm going
to
express a controversial opinion now.
We're on a live stream, Nigel.
Listen, I know what I'm doing. People listening, I know what I'm doing. Don't worry. I think you should take down Fawlty Towers, but not because it's racist. It's because it's just a shit show in general. Wait, Hey, that's fine. I can have my opinions. You know, is it racist? Maybe. Is it a shit show? Yes. It's just a guy bumbling about. How many shows of that do you have to make, British TV? How many of that archetype? You're still making it. You're still making it. Peep Show, The Inbetweeners. I stopped watching The Office. You're making the same show for 50 years. Little Britain trying to do something cool and different. And racist, yes. But cool and different.
You're saying Little Britain tried to do something cool and different.
Yeah, and because they didn't have that bumbling idiot persona. They had that persona, but it's not like the whole show revolves around like a person who just is like a loser in life. You know, like every British TV show. Like, come on, evolve, guys. You're still making the same show even now.
Well, the Brits do really love the kind of bumbling. Like Basil Fawlty archetype, definitely. But it's because that character comedically just generates so many different roads that you can take him down, and you always know, like, his fundamental flaw will always put him into a situation that's you know, will get him into trouble and it'll be funny. But like Fawlty Towers, I would say it was about class. Kind of, you could see it clearly.
But why was Fawlty Towers taken down? Where was the racist part?
I just read it quickly. I think it was racial overtones, or I mean, with the character of Manuel, the guy who works there.
But Spanish people are white too. He's white. He's white.
Yeah, but he's, well, Spanish people aren't Anglo-Saxon.
Oh my God. Okay. It's
and just like. I think the person who played him was English, so he put on an accent. I'm not quite sure the reason Fawlty Towers was taken down, but like the specific reason, if there was one.
Yeah, I think they're gonna take down Forrest Gump next. He plays ping pong, racist, cultural appropriation.
What are you? You're sounding like a Twitter alt-right dude.
Oh, no, just trying to be entertaining. I'm trying to be entertaining. Don't take what I say seriously, please. As long as you don't take down Rush Hour, I'm happy. Okay. Leave Rush Hour alone.
Yeah. I think we can conclude that we're both not smart enough to have this conversation live.
Yeah, you brought it up. You brought up this very heavy topic, but I brought up Tokyo Drift, so I injected it with some levity.
Yeah, you wanted to make it a bit funny, which is true because we're a comedy podcast.
It's the point of the podcast, girl.
Yeah. Stop saying girl.
Why? Is it racist not to say girl?
It's weird. When
you're
trying
to be supportive. Oh. You're trying to be supportive.
Nigel.
You know, some people, that's how they support each other, right? Like, you go, girl.
That's actually, I kind of do want support because I'm trying to lose weight. I wanted to bring this up on the podcast.
Do it. Go, girl. So, your opinions are very important. Let's talk about them and your feelings.
Oh God. Oh, I'm trying to lose weight because I have gotten health issues because of it. I have diabetes, hypertension, diabetes,
loneliness. Loneliness is a health issue. Do you know how many people die alone in their flats and people only find them 2 weeks after they're dead? A decomposing rotten flesh. Think about the estate agent. The estate agent has to rent out that place. They have to hire a cleaner to clean out your decomposing flesh. And then they have to put on a straight face. And the next tenants ask them, so why did the last tenant leave? Well, he didn't leave per se. He stayed. Stayed for a very long time.
We're not sure if they're still here, actually.
Yeah, you can still smell him. You can still smell him if you pay attention.
You guys, if you move in, just let us know how the first month is, if you feel anything spooky.
Yeah, even Roger won't be able to rent out that flat. Roger, the Asian real estate agent. By the way, listeners, another character I'm developing.
Oh my
Roger,
God.
Roger, the Asian real estate agent.
You
this
and
flat
your
very
characters.
Nice. Someone died in it, but it's okay. I cleaned out all the rotten flesh. I spray with Clorox and bleach. It's very clean now.
Roger the real estate agent is a character that I've written into a pilot that I've written.
Yes, and that I've brought to life.
I made the mistake of telling Nigel that it's sort of based on him. And now he's taken it and run away with it. And put on it, like, you do an accent. You do an Asian accent, even though you already have an Asian accent.
I just
Why
need
do
to
you
do
that?
A different Asian accent. I'm trying to, I'm a proper actor. I need to inhabit this role.
Oh,
I need
God.
To become Roger. I need to see what he sees. I need to feel what he feels. And he sees a flat with a dead body. What does he think? He's like, oh no, how to rent this out? Oh no, my job is hot now. Hiya. Now I need to get into my Mini Cooper and hire a cleaner. Hiya, dead body in this flat.
Just Ma, can you come and clean the can you come and clean an apartment for me?
So stinky, this dead corpse. So stinky.
It's so funny, but it's so wrong.
Are they gonna take our podcast down now? In 5 years?
Yeah,
probably.
They're gonna take our podcast down now. Next takedown is Rice to Meet You Pod.
So listeners, we are gonna be the next Little Britain.
Oh my God.
So enjoy our episodes while you can. They're coming for us, people. I hope it'll still be okay for Asians to do Asian accents because it's our culture.
How is it all our culture?
Imagine a world where you can't do accents. How sad would that be? Right? I feel bad for white people because they can't even do any accent if it's not a white person's accent. So you know how limited that is? So white people, you can only do what? An Irish accent? A Scottish accent? What else? Australian? Lame. Boring.
Australian accent. So boring. Really
I do
funny.
Asian accent. It's very good. It's okay. Still learning. It's a learning process.
Oh my God. That's why this was a bad idea doing a live show, because all of these things is like when we record, I'm like, okay, I should cut out this. I should cut out this. I should definitely cut out this. But in a live stream, you're getting everything.
That's... Hey, listeners, if you like Uncle Roger, this character, tell us in comments.
Nigel.
Evelyn trying to kill off my character, but I don't like this. I think this character very nice.
Maybe I should change Roger to this instead. It's very funny.
I'm telling you, do you want your sitcom to get commissioned? You want to be successful, right? Put me in it. Call this show Roger.
Roger.
The Uncle Roger. Asian. That's the show. Yeah. Uncle Roger.
Oh God.
He came to this country with $20 and now he has an empire.
My dad came to Sweden with like $20.
Yeah, and yeah. Now he has what?
He has a daughter with diabetes.
I want to say you've used this joke before.
I do, yeah. I don't know if you remember.
Evelyn has memory problems, you know, for new listeners. Evelyn has memory problems.
But that's why I want to lose weight now.
That's true. Oh,
we forgot. I want to get my health.
How did we get to Roger from that? But yes, you want to lose weight and tell us more. Uncle Roger, good listener. Uncle Roger, listening.
Oh my God. Uncle Roger. Well, I want to lose weight because I need to for health reasons. And I have done it in the past. And the time that I was most successful was when I did it in kind of like this Weight Watchers type of scenario with where I met up with a group every week and we had weigh-ins and then we talked about like eating and stuff.
You're like a UFC fighter. You have weigh-ins and then there's a press conference.
Do they do that?
I think so. I think they do weigh-ins, right? To determine what weight class they're in. I don't know much about fighting.
Oh, I see.
But you guys are different. You guys do weigh-ins to determine what your blood sugar level is.
Exactly.
Okay, so you would go... you actually did that before? Like, what do you call it? Weight Watchers?
Well, it was called Momentum.
Or is it like Eating Food Anonymous? You know, Eating Too Much Anonymous.
Oh, yeah, but that's like different. That's like a support group, rather. Like Weight Watchers is more like just a support group for losing weight. And
okay.
If you do like Eating Anonymous, that's like for you to talk about like the psychology behind, or your kind of anxieties and stuff about it. I think they do that at Weight Watchers too, but I'm sorry. So the thing is, I did it with that group and, you know, each week you would weigh in and you would talk about food health and stuff. I found that to be really successful because I felt like I was held accountable by a group. And so I wanted to deliver for the group and for the people there. But now on my own, I'm not disciplined enough to hold myself accountable. So I was thinking if I could do like every week, we just have like a little section with Evelyn's weight loss journey or something, and I do a weigh-in, and then
I'm gonna create a sound effect sting for this section.
Oh no!
Do 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 do. Evelyn's weigh-in time.
Oh no! We don't need a sound effect for everything, Nigel.
People love us for the sound effects. All right.
Oh gosh!
If you're a new listener. People love us for the sound effects.
Tell them why.
We're the only Asian podcast with sound effects. We're trying to dismantle stereotypes here. People think Asian, they think good at math, small penis. They never think sound effects. So we're actively dismantling stereotypes.
I feel like this, because of the sound effects you've chosen, we're actually perpetuating stereotypes.
No.
The gong and the flute.
It's just a beautiful instrument. How is Chinese food a stereotype? Violin and piano, that's a stereotype. Right? How many Chinese flute players do you know? Versus how many Chinese piano players do you know? See?
True. Well, I only know Yo-Yo Ma.
Listen, without this sound effect, white people and Asian people will never know what a Chinese flute sounds like. You are eating my pussy, boy. Okay? I'm trying to expand our culture and show it to the world. How the beauty, the sonorous sounds of the Chinese
play it
flute.
Again.
You are eating my pussy, boy. Beautiful.
Oh, God. All right.
Thousands of years of culture. Maybe this is what Shen Yun is. You know, Shen Yun.
And they're just trying to spread it to the world. That's why they're doing so many ads.
Maybe the opening of Shen Yun is, you are eating my pussy, boy. And followed by...
And then the dancing.
As a circus, yes, the dancers dance in front of me. Does everybody know what Shen Yun is? It's like this big Chinese dance troupe, like Cirque du Soleil, but the Chinese version. You see billboards of them everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say our regular listeners will just know directly, but
if you don't know what it is, that it's a Chinese troupe. You can see the ads on tube stops everywhere. They're everywhere. Yeah. They have a huge marketing budget.
Yeah, because it's China.
Who needs to go to Shen Yun if you have Rise to Meet You podcast with the beautiful sounds of Chinese
flute? No, let's
flute.
Not compete with Shen Yun. I feel like we're just going to, there's just going to be a Chortle article that says, Asian comedians Nigel Leung and Evelyn Mok found dead in their apartments. Nobody knows under mysterious circumstances.
And then Roger's like, hiya, another dead body. Hiya. More cleaning. Why you fuck with Shen Yun? Don't fuck with stuff from China. Aiya, now you dead. Now I have to find new tenant. Aiya. So stupid.
Oh my God.
All right.
God.
But about your weight stuff, let's carry on. Sorry for interrupting.
That was it.
Oh, you want me to hold you accountable? You want me to hold you accountable?
Well, I mean, I don't want... You're going to be too intimidating.
You don't even know. Yeah, the discipline I've went through as a kid.
I know, yeah.
So maybe that's what you need. The Western world is way too relaxed when it comes to disciplining people.
How were you disciplined as a kid?
Electric chair.
No, you weren't. No. Stop it.
Oh, your backdrop just fell. My God.
My backdrop just fell off. Should I put it up again?
No. We only have like 10 minutes. So let's finish. Well, we don't have to finish up just yet. We can record for longer, but the live stream will only go for 10 more minutes.
Sure.
So how do you want to be held accountable? Tell me. So to be held accountable, the definition, you need to have some sort of negative reinforcement if you don't meet your target. So what would that be?
Have you ever seen Nathan For You?
No.
He started a weight loss group.
Okay.
Where he was like, okay, so to motivate you guys, if you don't reach your target weight, we're going to do something negative. So he had everybody at the beginning of the weight loss journey, like one wrote a letter to their boss where they slagged them off. One took nude photos of themselves and said, if I don't reach my goal, you send this to my mom. And somebody else did some stuff. And then the person who wrote that letter to their boss and the person who took nude photos of themselves and didn't reach their goal, and he sent the letters.
So that is that what you need? I don't want to see your nude photos though. Please don't send me your nude photos.
No.
I've had a traumatic enough life. I don't need more trauma. I don't want to have to start going to therapy because I tried to hold you accountable for your weight loss journey.
Yeah. No, I just need to, I think I just need a place where I can express myself a little. Like, oh, this week I lost this much weight and this is what I did. Or this week I didn't lose any at all and that's because of this. And, you know, because when it comes to weight loss, it's not, you don't lose weight every week. It's up and down. Yeah. So,
okay, I'll let you do that as long as it's funny. Okay, it's a comedy podcast about Asian culture. I love you, Evelyn, but it's not a weight loss support podcast about Asian culture. Okay, that's a challenge then. You got to make your weight loss weigh-ins funny.
Can I make it? Is it either funny or either Asian?
Okay, fine. I'll give you that. It has to be either funny or Asian. Ideally, okay. Both. You know,
like ideally both.
The beautiful fusion of this. You are eating my pussy, boy. So funny, so Asian.
Oh, Nigel. I guess that's a good place to wrap it up.
Yes. So next week, people, we will have Evelyn and her first ever weigh-in. Hopefully, we'll design a sting by then too. So let us know if you have any suggestion for sound effects.
Oh my God, I just don't... You need to ask somebody else on that sting as well to get some advice.
On that what?
You need to have another person listen to it as well. It can't be me because it's supposed to be a surprise for me, I think.
Okay,
but,
okay.
You need to run it by somebody.
Will do, will do. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye. Massive thank you to all our patrons because you guys make this podcast possible. When the pandemic started, we lost all our income, so thank you for keeping us going. And now we want to shout out our patrons who are at the Rice Emperor tier and above. Adrian Xie, Alison Vargas, Andrew Aoyong, Anu, Ayako, Azwan Ahmad, Chia Yi, Debbie Lee, Chen Youze, Elizabeth Allen, Stephanie Lee, FSP, Gabriella Bromley, Gabby Suarez, Grace Roth, Haley Deverell, Harry Yarnell, Yan Godfrey, Jasmine Chong, Jeff Chow, Jenny Chan, Jordan Cathcart, Judith Abraham, Carr, K.N. Ng, Carrie, Laura Lee, Leong, Manwa Siu, Mei Lin, Mariah Bell, Nadia Islam, Naveen, Ong Mei Yen, D-Team Emergency Response Team Wimbledon, Phil Kendall, Rebecca Lam, Rebecca Tracy, Rose Kelly, Ryan Wang, Sabrina, Sandy, Sin, Sizhe, Tom Green, Tom Oatley, Vera, Virini Vervong, and Vilton Yao. Thank you so much.